For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Glory to God, let's open in prayer. We praise you, Lord, and thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for access to your blessings. We thank you for your help and strength in our life and your leading. And Father, I ask that this morning we have a clear understanding of the preaching of your word and where it fits into your plan in the name of Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. Well, we're going to be looking this morning at the importance of preaching the Word of God. The importance of preaching of the Word of God. So let's first of all look at Matthew 24, verse 14. Matthew 24, 14. I want us to see this morning that preaching of the Word of God is the primary work of the church, preaching and teaching the Word of God. And it is a good work that must be done. And in fact, without it, there would be not only that the church wouldn't fulfill what it is meant to do, which is to go into all the world and preach the gospel, but also it would mean that there would not be the building up of the people of God to do that work that God is requiring his people to do. Now, of course, there has been an attack of the enemy against the church to water down the word, to deflect the church away from the task of preaching the word, and to make it so that other priorities seem to be more important than the preaching of God's word. So we're looking at Matthew 24 and we'll look at verse 14. Now this is Jesus speaking and he says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." So you'll notice he says, this gospel of the kingdom. So the gospel that Jesus has brought and that the church is commissioned to preach and teach, and teaching all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. We know that that gospel of the kingdom has not changed, because he says it'll be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So it's got to go right to the very end. But you'll notice that it says shall be preached in all the world. Shall be preached. That means that preaching has to be what the church is going to be doing, what Christians are going to be doing. You're not going to be saying, well, I'm not going to preach. Let just my actions do all the work. They'll see my actions. That's all. Now, certainly actions are very important, but notice that it's the gospel of the kingdom has to be preached, shall be preached. Now, this is a prophecy that Jesus gave. And he says, in all the world for a witness unto all nations. So the nations can't come to Jesus at the end and say, well, your gospel wasn't preached to us. We didn't have an opportunity to hear that. Well, there's more and more an opportunity made available now to the nations, and specifically because of the Spirit of God moving in this time. And the Lord has enabled the technology of our time. Let's not be in doubt about that. The Lord has enabled the technology of our time for global reach. Okay? For global reach. That's God's doing. So let's have a look at 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4. And we see something here that Paul stated that we do well to keep in mind. And he stated it about the gospel here. In 1 Corinthians 15, we'll start from verse 1, go to verse 4. Now notice what it says here in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have, what? Received, and wherein ye stand. So what happens when the word of God is preached? What has to happen? The hearers have to receive it, don't they? They have to receive it. The Bible tells us faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the word of God will come, and those that are open to it will allow faith to come into their heart, and they will then receive that which has been preached. So let me just repeat what verse 1 says. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. So we stand in what has been preached and what we've received. And that is, says in verse 2, by which, that's the gospel, also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. So we see there's several elements here. The preaching, the believing, the receiving, and not allowing it to go out of your memory, out of your heart. Verse 3, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. So obviously Paul received what the gospel is saying as well here. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So we see that in the preaching of the gospel, there has to be an explanation of Christ dying for our sins. Why did he need to die for our sins? Okay? And we receive. When we respond to the gospel, we receive that. That's a fact. We are at the time of our response, we are sinners. We acknowledge our sin. We repent of that because we know that we have offended a holy God. And Christ died for our sins. He took our sins upon himself. He took our sins for us. Okay? And that he was buried. He was buried. He went to hell for us. And, as it says there, that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And of course he ascended into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God the Father. And God the Father accepted that perfect sacrifice that the Lord Jesus did for us. So he said the gospel, the word of God, has to be preached and has to be believed and received. And if it's not, then it's like going in one ear and out the other. So a person, whenever they hear the word of God, have a choice. They have a choice to believe. They have a choice to receive. If you have a look at Romans 10, and we'll look at verses 8 to 17. Now we have looked at these areas before, but it's important for us to see this because we saw right at the very beginning that the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations. So it has to be preached, and it is a primary work of the church to preach the word of God, the gospel. So looking at Romans 10, and we'll start from verse 8 of Romans 10. It says, "But what saith, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach." So the word of faith, which is the word that has faith in it and produces faith, has to be what? Preached, which we preach. Now, how did it get into their heart and into their mouth? How did it get into there? Well, if the word of faith is preached, then it's believed and received, isn't it? Believed and received. And he goes into more detail here, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now we know the spirit of faith is I believe and therefore speak. Okay, so we see that there is a believing in the heart of what is being preached, and there is a confession of the mouth that comes out of that. All right, verse 11, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Now think about that. God's not limiting access, but he has a way that he has put into the earth to be able, for the church, which is his vehicle in the earth, to be able to reach people, reach nations, and it has to be done his way. That's why Jesus, in that prophecy, made it very clear that the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached. It has to be done God's way, not man's way, but God's way. Verse 12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So they're responding to the gospel, aren't they? How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So you can see, a preacher is a very important component in God's plan. Very important component in God's plan. Because it enables people to hear God's word. Enables people to hear what God wants them to hear. That's what verse 15 says. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So there's a couple of components here. But we see that how beautiful is talking about those coming in with the good news, the gospel of peace, and bringing glad tidings. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. And yet many people don't see it as beautiful at the moment. They don't see that preaching is a great necessity or that it's beautiful. Bring glad tidings of good things. Verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So you see, there is that component of obedience, isn't there? I believe and therefore speak, and that goes on into actions in your life. Obeying the gospel means that you have to receive or believe what is being preached. Okay, receive it. Confess your sins. Confess Christ. and then go forward in that. We can't just have lip service about the Word of God. Verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And we just saw before that there has to be a preacher that's sent. There has to be the preaching of the Word of God. And we saw that Paul the Apostle, he both received and he preached what he had received, that gospel. Okay. And he talked about people need to receive what is being preached. It's not just, oh, the word is preached and then no one believes it or receives. There has to be that receiving. There's a choice, isn't there? A choice involved whenever the word is preached. So let's have a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 17 to 21. 1 Corinthians 1, we'll start from verse 17, we'll go to verse 21. Now, I said before, and we read it, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach. Okay, so there is beauty attached to preaching. Now, the word has within it power. Okay, God's word is powerful, quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. So the word has power, and in the flow and anointing of the Holy Ghost, that word has the power to dispel darkness, to bring light into people's lives. So starting from verse 17 of 1 Corinthians 1, it says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to, what? Preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. So we're not just talking about a pep talk here, are we? We're talking about the word of God comes and it's presented accurately and in truth and according to what the Spirit of God is bringing. Verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it, what's that? The preaching of the cross, it, preaching, is the power of God. So people say, where's the power of God? Preaching is the power of God. Now you imagine if the church globally, much less in Australia, was preaching the word, would the power level go up in the church as they're open to the Spirit of God? It would. It would. It has to. Okay? But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Verse 19, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and this is the worldly wise, okay, the devilish wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Okay, if you were to follow the wisdom of the world, you'd be not wanting to expose yourself to any preaching. Oh, I don't want that religious stuff. I don't believe that God even exists. Whoa. All that type of thing. All types of philosophies come in the place of the Word of God and in people's thinking. So there has to be a dispelling of that through the Word of God. And God has made foolish the wisdom of this world. Verse 21, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Notice it says it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So some people think, perhaps even a lot of people think, well, preaching is just foolishness. It's foolish. And we shouldn't be concentrating on preaching, because they're not going to reach the masses. That's not going to reach the nations, preaching. And yet God's saying it will. He's saying it pleased God. This is what pleases God. In other words, you've got to do it God's way. And the church will do it God's way, because Jesus prophesied, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be what? Preached. So people, and specifically the church, will do it God's way by the end of time. And there's a stirring even in our time now, and people coming out of, oh, I just want a word to satisfy myself, and trusting in their own wisdom. But no, hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? And as it says there, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. There is power, as it says at the end of verse 18, unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The preaching is the power of God. But how is it the power of God? It's the power of God because as you believe it, the Holy Ghost, Spirit of Truth, can do a work in your heart. He can do something, because the Bible tells us that the Lord confirmed the word with signs following. Okay? The Lord is working and confirming the word of God. He's at work. But he can't confirm fantasy. He can't confirm compromise. But he will confirm the preaching of the word of God. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Let's have a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4. Now we see here in 2 Corinthians 4 how the word comes in to people's hearts, what they are like prior to hearing the gospel, that is, those that are lost, what are they like, and what happens when they respond to the word of God. What happens? So we're looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we'll look at verses 3 to verse 6. It says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. So what's the primary work of the devil on the earth? To keep that gospel from people. To keep the word from people. To keep people out of hearing the word. To keep people away from preaching. This is important for us to recognize that that's what he's doing. And we see that in verse 4. We'll read verse 3 again. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom, that's in the lost, in whom the God of this world, notice it's little g, O-D, talking about a spiritual ruler, the God of this world is Satan, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So we see that there is power in the word which is able to shine into the hearts of people that are currently blinded. So the word of God can shine and open up for everyone And, of course, once you're a Christian, you continue to hear the preaching of the Word so that your life is opened up through the light of God's Word. The entry of God's Word gives light. That's what the Bible tells us. So the Word of God comes in, and it's a glorious gospel that comes in right at the very beginning, isn't it? A glorious gospel. Look at verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ, but for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So God has made a commandment. He's given a commandment for the light to shine out. Okay? And it shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That means that we can walk in revelation. That means that we can walk in understanding, because it talks about the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We are not a people that need to walk in darkness. And as the Word of God is preached, we can walk in the light. Walk in the light of God's Word. Look back at Romans 1. Romans 1. And we'll look at verses 15 to 18 of Romans 1. Romans 1, 15 to 18. So we see that the God of this world is blinding the minds of them which believe not, and that's to the lost. But he's also at work even amongst the church people, or those Christians, to keep them away from the light of the Word, because the Word of God is able to equip us. We see that in, for example, in Acts 20. We won't turn to it. It's able to equip us and give us an inheritance. It's able to show us things and show us what we need to do so that we are able to do God's will. It can renew our minds. The Word preached can dispel any darkness. We can have faith for things like healing and strength and health and prosperity and deliverance. But we must be people that are responsive to God's Word. And we see here in Romans 1, starting from verse 15, it says, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now notice what he says here. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, what's that? The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. God has invested his power in his Word, and for those that believe, and it says to everyone that believeth, to those that believe, they can come out of darkness into his marvellous light, and you continue in that believing of his Word as it's preached, and you continue to walk in the light of God, in power, in the power of God. Verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. So there's a development for us, a development of faith, isn't there? As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Well, that's you and me who have believed on Christ, Okay? The gospel came to us, we believed it. And his glorious gospel, that word of truth, has changed us. Changed us into new creatures in Christ. So it says there, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. So those without Christ are under the wrath of God and they need the gospel, we know that. And it's revealed through the word of God. It's revealed specifically through the gospel. But the gospel has to be preached. And Paul said that he's ready to preach. We need to be ready to preach. Ready to preach wherever the Lord gives us openings to do so. Praise the Lord Jesus. Have a look at Philippians chapter 1. Philippians 1. So we're looking at the importance of preaching the Word of God today. The importance of preaching the Word of God. Now I know that everyone here knows and understands that. And the importance of it going forward and us not letting go of that is more and more to be stressed, because to reach the nation of Australia, it's not going to be through manipulation and trying to get people into services so they have a good feeling. It's going to be through the preaching of the Word of God, okay? And that's the reality. Because Jesus said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached. Shall be preached. And that's the important thing for us to understand. Philippians 1, we'll start from verse 12. We'll go to verse 21. Philippians 1, verse 12. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And that's interesting, isn't it? Just because you might be persecuted, just because you might be set aside, it doesn't mean that that's not for the furtherance of the gospel. Furtherance of the gospel is all about the gospel having inroads into dark places. Verse 14, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Speak the word without fear. Now, think about that. The fear of man is a snare. But if the Lord tells you to preach, then you do it. Of course, you don't want to be speaking and preaching if there's no opening from the Lord or no leading from the Lord. But if the Lord is leading you to and there is an opening, then we need to be able to speak the word without fear. Without fear. Okay? Without fear. Verse 15. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. So there's people all types of agendas, isn't there? All around the place. And even God can use what these people say at times, is what he's saying here. But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defence of the gospel.
What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in patience or in truth, Christ is preached. And I therefore do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to the earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness and as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. As Paul was concerned, to live is Christ. We should be like that. To live is Christ. And, you know, the Lord calls us to preach and teach. To live is Christ. To live is Christ. So let's finish with Mark 16. Mark 16. Mark 16, and we'll look at verses 15 and 16, and then verse 20. Mark 16, 15 and 16. It says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And when he talks about preaching the gospel to every creature, he's talking about every creature that can believe, that can hear the gospel and believe it, right? And that's why he says in the next part, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. There's salvation available through the preaching of the gospel. Through the preaching of the gospel. But if they don't believe it, what happens? Jesus said, you shall die in your sins. If you die in your sins, they haven't been dealt with, you haven't had your sins washed clean by the blood of Jesus, you haven't been born again. And as it says there, he that believeth not shall be damned. It's eternal damnation. Okay? So it's a serious thing. Very serious, the preaching of the gospel, the preaching of the word of God. Very serious. And it's a serious issue even for the church across the globe today, that the word must be preached and taught, not out of men's agendas and what men and women might want, but out of what the Lord wants, praise the Lord, out of what he is leading us to do. And we'll read verses 19 and 20, and we'll finish with this. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, that's the Lord Jesus, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they, it's his disciples, they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Now we know that the Holy Ghost was sent on the day of Pentecost, and he works with the church now. Okay, confirming the word with signs following. The Lord is working with us as, what do they do? They went forth and, what? Preached. Preached. Seems as though they saw that that was the primary work they had to do, is to preach. They went forth and preached everywhere. And as we saw before, speaking the word without fear is important, as we're led of God. The Lord working with them. How's he working with them? They're preaching, so they're giving him something to work with. Working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you. Thank you for your precious word. Thank you for your gospel. Thank you, Lord, for the preaching of your word. We ask, Lord, that it increases in this church, and the furtherance of the gospel increases from this church, and furtherance of your word and glorification of your word, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, help us. Help us, show us, give us opportunities, continue with us, Lord. And may your word be preached greatly in the city of Geelong. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord.